Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. On behalf of Pastor Billy Cashwell and all of your friends at Benson Grove, let me welcome you to a Spirit-filled hour of singing and preaching from the Word of God. We invite you to tune in every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. You can contact us at 919-894-4120. We would love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. Now let's join the broadcast from Benson Grove.
I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pined, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me.
I'm a whosoever this morning, amen. Anybody else like that this morning? How many whosoevers are in the house this morning? That's right. Praise the Lord that you're a whosoever this morning. He didn't die for just this particular person or that particular or group of people or whatever. He died for the whole world, for the sins of the whole world, that they might believe and trust in him as their Savior. How many has done that? How many has done that this morning? He's your Savior this morning. I think he needs to be praised for that, amen. Anybody? He saved my soul. He saved your soul, amen. Bless the name of the Lord in this place this morning. I want to recognize our visitors here. If you're a first-time guest at Benson Grove, would you mind raising your hand in the air? First time, I got one down on the front down here, Brother Bobby, on the front pew down here. I got some back over there in front of Big Justin right there, Brother Terry. Hold your hand up, ma'am. I saw your hand. There it is. There it is. Amen. These will be taking mug shots right after service. And we'll get you. But anyway, if you wouldn't mind filling that visitor's card out, please put it in the offering place. It's passed a little bit later in the service. Or if you're one of the newer generation, what do they call the millennials? The who's, who, whatever they are. They're all thumbs, amen. Whatever generation, they can text, amen. You can text the word welcome to that number, 980-270-2072 this morning. And we'd be glad it'd be a digital visitor's card. And then for those that are joining in online for the first time as well, same thing. Text the word online, O-N-L-I-N-E, to 980-270-2072. That way we can have a record of you being with us there as well. But I see a lot of new faces. Not new, but I see some faces I've not been able to see in just a little while. I see the Fords over here. They've had the COVID stuff, and it's good to see you back over here this morning. I got my neighbor, Miss Barbara Spencer, over here this morning. I will tell you something now. She's special. She don't want to be embarrassed, but I'm going to say she's something special now. I went to see her in the hospital. You may remember we prayed for her near about the majority of 22, and we were praying over some things that she kept having roller coaster ride with, and then come to find out she had some kind of infection. They couldn't even identify what it was. I said, you are something special. And lo and behold, she's here, and she's here in the house of the Lord this morning. So praise the Lord for that. Welcome to be with us this morning as well. And we've been praying for her and still going to continue to pray as she gets back to 100%. And I saw some other faces too, but it'll come to me in a moment. But it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Charles is going to come and sing. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir, Brother Bobby.
Jana and Danny and the boys are back
over there. Amen. They're back over there. They are. I see them now. Amen. I got to get my glasses on. Anyway, but it's good to have all of you here in the house of the Lord, and we welcome you all here today. But let's call on the Lord and invite him in. That's who we need here today, and then Charles is going to sing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow heads and hearts before you this morning, God, we say thank you for the opportunity to enter into a time of worship again today, Lord. And it is a blessing, Lord, to see people we've been praying over, to see folks that have been through some sickness and hardships. And Lord, it's 2021, 20, 22, and now 23. Lord, it just seems like folks have got something that's been lodged against us. And Lord, I feel like it's an act of the devil, Lord, because it's one of those things that wants to keep people out of the house of God and around away from being around the people of God to hear the word of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us to depend upon you now more than ever. And Lord, I thank you for those folks that have had prayers answered in recent days and in for extended amounts of time as well. And God, we still lift up the ones who need you here this morning, those that are listening in at home. Lord, those that have lost loved ones in days gone by, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll continue to touch them and draw close to them as well. But Lord, in this place, Lord, we need you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would move in, that you'd take over, you'd lead, guide, and direct in all things, Lord, that happen here in this place, Lord, or else it's just a meeting of people. But God, I want to be able to leave out of here today said I have church and that I've been in the presence of my God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd breathe upon our pastor today. And Lord, that your presence would flow through him, not only in his physical being, but Lord, through the words that he gives to us today, Lord, that it'll be directly from heaven. And Lord, I pray that you undergird him with your strength, Lord, that he'd be hidden behind the cross as Charles comes to sing in just a moment. Lord, I pray that you'll bless him and the words that are of the songs that'll be sung today. God, I pray that you'll bless those and that your presence will be in those as well. But God, we need salvation here today. And Lord, in a room the size this and this full today, Lord, I know not everybody has trusted in the Savior to be just that for them, their personal Savior, to be forgiven from all sin. And Lord, I pray, God, that would happen here today, that salvation would come here. And Lord, I pray for those who may be backslidden, for those that are not in a rightful standing with you, God, that they'll get around these altars and beg for forgiveness. And Lord, I believe your word that you're faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. And Lord, what a blessing that is today. But God, we need you here. Move in, Lord. We welcome you here. And I pray that nothing be said or done without your guidance, without your presence, that you'd have your way among your people. Bless now as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Charles is going to come and sing this morning.
of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
He didn't need the music, did he? Amen. Brother Gary's going to come and pray over our offering. Got a word about our Bible Institute.
Let's bow our heads for prayer for the offering. Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege of giving back to you that which you so graciously allowed us to have. So we ask, Father, your blessing will be upon this offering. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. While they're taking up the offering, I'd like to just take a couple of minutes and make my twice annual, you might say, announcement about the Bible Institute. We had our introductory meeting last Tuesday night. We have 13 students for this semester. I want to open up the Bible Institute for anyone else who might be interested, because if you can make it this Tuesday night, you can still enroll in this semester, which is what we call our fifth semester. The program is a program that goes on for 3 years, and then we do it all over again. We're in the fifth semester. It's two semesters per year. This semester in New Testament, Brother Mitchell will be teaching on some of the Pauline epistles and then conclude the semester with a study in the book of Hebrews. I always laugh when I think of someone teaching the Pauline epistles, because when I was first saved years and years and years ago, someone made a comment to me as to what they thought the epistles were. And I said, "What are the epistles?" And they said, "They are the wives of the apostles." And I have since found out that isn't true. But nevertheless, that's what Brother Mitchell will be teaching. Brother Roger is going to be teaching on theology in the theology of the church. And then he'll conclude the semester with study on humanity, the study of man. And then in the Old Testament, I'll be teaching, it's all prophets this semester. We'll be dealing with some of the what's called minor prophets, not because their message was less important, but because their message was a little bit shorter than the major prophets, which were prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, who went on for quite a long period of time. So we have a very interesting semester going, but you can still get into the semester. If you're interested in that, please come and see me after church this morning. Don't wait too long, though, because after this coming Tuesday night, it gets a little bit more difficult to try to catch up. There's a lot of reading involved in the program. And so if you're interested, please come and see us. I'm very excited about our semester and what God is doing with the Bible Institute. Let me just take 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry, that was not the truth. Let me take a few seconds and ask, how many of you that are in this congregation this morning have either attended the Bible Institute or graduated from the Bible Institute? Will you just slip your hand up right now? Okay, several of you. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. So we'd like to increase that, that someday everybody in the congregation will raise their hand. And it could happen for you coming Tuesday night. See me after church. It'd be 7 o'clock Tuesday night back there in Brother Mitchell Barber's Sunday School classroom. We look forward to seeing you. God bless you.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs He'll supply my thirsty soul. He satisfies, 'cause he's the Lord of Lords, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm every pain, fills my deepest longing, time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to any other, for he's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And on this friend, I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. 'Cause he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's my everything, and he's all I need.
And I thank the Lord for Brother Brad and for all of our staff and all of our friends around here. First Sunday in February, we'll celebrate a time of just thanking the Lord for our staff. And we're looking forward to that. Last year I had the COVID during those days, and we kind of postponed it, but we hope to do it the first Sunday of February. We'll have a staff recognition day, and then we'll have lunch together. But you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs. We have been dealing on Sunday morning. Now, for the last little while, we kind of shifted gears. I was doing the Sermon on the Mount in all of our services for a while, but then we kind of detoured during Thanksgiving and had an emphasis on Thanksgiving, and then, of course, during the Christmas season of the birth of our Lord. And then, but January, the first Sunday in January, which turned out to be January the 1st, I preached a message on first things first, and then God kind of put some, I had saw so many things I wanted to deal with, and you couldn't do it in one sermon. So I want to come back to that thought this morning. We first dealt with the first time, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our primary pursuit in life ought to be to be right with God and be part of His kingdom and the growth of the kingdom and our personal growth in the kingdom and what God's doing in God's timing and God's economy in the kingdom. And then also in that message, I emphasize two others. One has to do with judging our brother. We look, we see a little speck of dust in their eye or some little flaw in their personality or some weakness in their Christian life. And we're so quick to point it out and maybe to rebuke them about it or whatever. And yet he said, you have a beam. You've got a big old pole sticking in your eye. And so we first, he said, remove the beam that's in your eye. You make sure you stay right with the Lord before you start criticizing other people and talking about them. And then he said, the third one was when you come to the altar and you remember that your brother has ought against you, you first go reconcile with your brethren. So we talked about first things first. First, you make sure you're right with one another. You can't be right with God and not right with one another. You can't be right with God and not be right with your wife or your children. You have to have a right relationship with them, or you'll rob yourself of a wonderful, wonderful relationship with the Lord. And then we looked at some other things along that line. But here this morning, I want to come back to the book of Proverbs. And this one's on my heart. And some of you, if you knew what I was going to preach on, you might not would have come, but you'd miss a blessing. Say amen right there. Amen. And you say, now you're bragging. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. And I want you to hear the word of God. Look in the book of Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. First things first. First things first. What are some of the first things that we ought to do? First things first. Last week, of course, I emphasized the Christians being the saints or those who believe on the Lord being called Christians first. And we emphasized the thought Christians first. We're Christians first in our business, Christian first in our pleasures, our entertainments. We're Christian first in our relationships. You'll remember your relationship with Christ, Christians first. We do everything the Bible says in with all of our might for the glory of God. Amen. Christians first. But now look in the book of Proverbs. This very familiar passage of Scripture beginning with verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long live life and peace shall they add unto thee. Boy, that's a wonderful truth that adhere to hear and study the Word of God. Be in Sunday school. Tim will say a word about that. And to hear the Word of God and the commands of God, the directives of God, and obey them. He said, if you want to have long life, length of days, and you want to have peace, then you live according to the Word of God. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Your relationship with the Lord makes you where you can live in peace and have joy if you'll live right with God, and it will affect your relationship with others. Now, this wonderful passage of Scripture that we emphasize, and sometimes especially around time of graduation and young people beginning their life in one direction or another, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What a blessing if you learn to trust God in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't depend on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Say, God, what should I do? Where should I go? What about this life's mate? What about my job? What about this, that, and the other? I want to be in the will of God. We need to pray that prayer always. But now comes the text that God put in my heart for this morning. Look at verses 9 and 10 of Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all. Everybody say the word all. All thine increase. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for your mercy and grace. God, you've saved us. You've given us everlasting life. Thank you for the singing of Charles this morning. Above all, God, your name is exalted above all. But Lord, above all else, you loved us and you died that we might have everlasting life. And our Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for food and a housing. But the most important thing is our relationship with God. Above all else, I pray that God, people would be saved and know that the way to joy and peace and to right relationship with God is to be born again by the grace of God. And then, Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness to us in so many areas. Lord, you've blessed us with so many things that we need, but God, you met that need. Our Father, in your model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, you taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we acknowledge the fact that, God, every day you give us our daily bread. Every mouthful of food we've ever eaten, every meal we've ever had came down from you. All good things come down from God, the Father of light. Now, Lord, bless us, our Father, as we consider these verses that you put in my heart. Make it real to me and make it real to our friends this morning. Help us to know how to live in such a way that it would honor you. But God, the way you've chosen for us to be blessed, God, help us to understand the blessing of being obedient to you and your word. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He said you're to honor the Lord with your first fruits, with all of your substance to honor the Lord. First things first. First things first. Some time ago, I was talking with somebody who had been fairly successful in business and management of money and this, that, and the other. And I was talking about personal finances, this, that, and the other. And their advice was this, and it's good advice, and that was make sure you pay your bills first. You've got obligations for your home or your insurance or light bill and all those things. Don't spend any other money until you've already budgeted for the necessities of life and you pay your bills first. That's what he's saying. And then several years ago, I was looking at another fellow who was famous in the insurance industry. But one of his favorite sayings was this, pay yourself first. You pay yourself first. And he said, "You whatever you do before you do anything else, you set aside a certain amount every week to put in savings and pay yourself first. If you don't, it'll get gone and you won't have it and you'll wonder where it went. You spent it at Bojangles or somewhere else." But he said, pay yourself first. Put something in savings every week. My mama used to say, you'll never be well off, you'll never have anything if you spend more than you make. That's pretty good philosophy for somebody that was worked a cotton mill over a life. You'll never have anything if you spend more than you make. And so it's good. Those are good financial advices. But according to the Word of God, first things first. He said that you ought to honor the Lord first with your substance and with all the first fruits of all your increase. First things first. You honor God with your substance and everything. Now, what is the basis of what I'm sharing with you this morning that God spoke to our hearts about? Where did this come from? Here is Solomon writing in the book of Proverbs. Supposedly, he was the wisest man, but he also became the richest man on the face of the earth. Now, if you're going to listen to somebody that had some background and knew what he was talking about, it would probably want to be Solomon because God gave him wisdom above anybody on the face of the earth when he was living. And he also blessed him with materially more than anybody else who'd ever lived in those days. And his, you know, God, the Lord used him even as an illustration, talking about God clothing the field and soil and all those things. But here, how did all that come about? What is the purpose behind it? Well, if you go back and look, you'll understand that there was a time when the children of Israel went into Egypt and they ended up in bondage. God had promised them promised land, but they end up in bondage. And there God delivers them miraculously, brings them out. Moses comes in and they have the 10 plagues and all those things, and then the death of the firstborn, and they come out of the land and they begin their journey toward the promised land. And they come to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20 is where he gives the 10 commandments. But we don't, it's kind of like the Sermon on the Mount when people think about him being on the Mount Sinai, we think about the tablets and we think about the 10 commandments. But he also gave them the layout of the tabernacle, and that has to do with redemption, because he knew that men could not keep the law. Law was never given, they might have life. And so he made a way for them to worship and point toward Calvary, the sacrifice of lambs. But also on that Mount Sinai, he gave them directives for how to worship. And one of those directives was this matter of honoring the Lord with your substance, with your money or your increase. In their case, it was sometimes money, gold or silver. Quite often, it had to do with other things. And so when you go to the book of Exodus chapter 22 and verse 29, and also in Exodus and chapter 34 and in chapter 23, he explains that to them. And he said, when you come into the land, I'm going to give this land flowing with milk and honey. And so they come into the land and there's already vineyards they didn't plant. There's already food to eat. But then in the succeeding year, they would plant and they'd harvest. And he said, when you come into the land, always you are to honor the Lord with the first fruits. So when you first take the first ears of corn that are ripe, the first tomatoes that are ripe, the first whatever is ready, you bring those to the house of God. And when you have lambs born, you bring the firstborn to the house of God. You bring all that firstborn and all of that first crop to the house of God. You bring it in. It's also repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. When you come to the book of Leviticus, where they lay out in detail their worship, that was one of the primary things that they were to do. They were to always honor God by bringing the first fruits of their increase. In other words, it's like you get a paycheck. The first fruits would be the first thing before you pay a house payment, before you think of that. You honor the Lord with your substance. You honor the Lord. And then he said, the first fruits of all your increase, all of it. And so he said, you honor me with that honor. And so in the book of Leviticus, he explains that in detail. One of the things that's so significant is when you begin to study, and like Brother Barry was talking about this morning, there's so many underlying things, and Brother Roger and I were talking about the Old Testament and some things. So many things were significant the Jews didn't really understand. And it's true of this, the giving of your substance and honoring God with your first increases. For instance, when he comes into the book of Leviticus, he said, now let's take wheat for instance. He said, what you're supposed to do is when your wheat crop is finished, you're to go out and you're to cut sheaves, cut a bundle of wheat. And then you bring the first gleaning, the first time you cut your wheat, you bring it to the house of God, and the priest will take it and wave it before the Lord. And they didn't understand all of that. They didn't understand what it was all about. Only the fact they knew is that God said, you bring the first fruits, and that's what they were doing. But what is all of this waving those sheaves before them? And then if you look on in chapter 23 in the book of Leviticus, he adds some things to it. He said, at the offering of first fruits, he said, I want you to make two loaves from wheat. You make two little loaves of bread. And you bring the two loaves and you have two lambs of the first year, and they will be a wave offering before the Lord. Now you say, Brother Billy, what is all of that about? I'm going to come back to it in just a few minutes and explain some of that to you. But now when you come to the book of Nehemiah, you remember they go into the land and they don't do hardly anything God tells them to do. They barely get into the land before they begin to worship other gods, before they begin to forsake the tabernacle and then later the temple. They forsake the temple and they don't worship God like they were supposed to. They quit bringing their Thanksgiving offering. They forgot to bring their first fruits offering. They quit doing any of that. They were living in a land flowing with milk and honey, and they began to turn to idols, and they began to give idols credit for the grain and credit for the wheat. And everything that they had then, they began to attribute that to another God instead of the God who brought them out of bondage and brought them into here. And so what God does is He leads them and sends the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom into captivity for 70 years. And then when they come back and Ezra comes back and they rebuild the temple, and then Nehemiah comes back to rebuild the wall and to institute and to get the worship started back, one of the first things he tells them to do is that they now have to begin once again to bring back the first fruits offering. You've got to start honoring God because they've got away from God. And when they got away from God, they quit acknowledging God as their source. And so now they've got to start all over again. They've got to recognize that. And why does He do that? Does God need my money? It's not mine to start with. It's His. But why does He tell them to bring that? He says in this book of Proverbs, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He wants them to do that for two or three reasons. Number one, He said, you're to honor me, honor me. And by giving the first fruits, you're acknowledging the fact that He is the source and the supplier of all things. And when they backslid on God, that's one of the first things they forsook. They began to say, God didn't do this. This God or this golden calf did that. Many of them would do what we do today. We'd say, my hard labor, my education, this is what I've accomplished. This all comes from me. But the truth of the matter is, you wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for Him. You wouldn't have enough power, energy, strength in your body to do your job if it wasn't for Him. You wouldn't have the wisdom to do your job if it wasn't for Him. And so when you bring that first fruits offering, you're acknowledging to Him, God, you're my source. Give us this day our daily bread. I acknowledge that you're my only supply, and you're thankful for that. And the bringing of that gift was to honor God and acknowledge Him, that He's the one who's done that. He's given you all of that. He's done that. When they came out of the Egyptian bondage, they would bring that first fruits. And every time they came to the temple to bring the first fruits, year after year, they were reminded of the promises of God. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. They had tomatoes that big. Boy, it wouldn't take but one slice of that to make a tomato sandwich. I mean, they had butter beans and peas and everything. But when they came, they were acknowledging and honoring God. God, you've kept your word. You've blessed us, and God, this is all yours. And we acknowledge that. When they went into captivity, after they started not giving the first fruits offering and not obeying God, not worshiping, when they came back under Nehemiah, Nehemiah demanded that they start bringing the first fruits offering back. And so they're reminded over and over again of His redemptive work. And so when you come and you bring in the offering, first fruits offering of what God's blessed you with, you're honoring Him and the fact that He's kept His word. You're honoring Him that He is your provider, and you're acknowledging the fact that you're thankful that without Him you'd have nothing, but with Him you've got all things, and He's promised to meet all of our needs. And so it does that. But now, what about when He began to do the sheaves and the wave offerings? If you took your Bible and you turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, just write this down. I'll have you to go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in a few minutes. But in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 15 in verses 20 and 23, it says this, that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Then when you go back and think about Leviticus, he said, what you do is when you have your grain ready, you go in and you take that grain, you cut that grain, and you bring it and wave it before the Lord. It's a picture of resurrection. It's a picture of life. He's pointing toward His Son who will become the first fruits of them that slept and the promise of the resurrection. And when you go to the book of Revelation, you'll find in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14, He describes those who are redeemed and their resurrection as the first fruits. And so the bringing of the first fruits pictures resurrection. Here they were in Egyptian bondage. They were under taskmasters. They were ruling over them. They made their jobs and their lives miserable. And God miraculously delivered them by blood, and they come into the land. And so now every time they bring that first fruits offering, it's like resurrection. Here's life. Here's the wheat. Here's the fresh vegetables. Here's the new lambs. It's new life. It's resurrection. And so when you bring that first fruits offering, you're not only honoring Him for His provision, but you're honoring Him for His pardon and for His salvation. You're thinking about the resurrection. Praise God. One of these days, all things will be made new. And they did that after they came out of Egyptian bondage, after they came out of Assyrian and Babylonian. They worshiped Him with first fruits. It's a picture of their resurrection out of bondage and also pointing toward Christ and His bondage. But now turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's come to the New Testament. You said, Brother Billy, you're just talking about the Old Testament. No, truth be known, we could go all the way through the New Testament and we could find the parallels and what He was trying to get them to understand. That this is a blessing. You're acknowledging me. You're honoring me for what I've done. And this is just the beginning. And those first fruits, by the way, when it says that that wave offering that they gave, the first sheaves, and then in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 where it says He's the first fruits, that wave offering meant this. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's a larger harvest coming. There's a larger resurrection coming. So now go to 2 Corinthians and look with me, please, in chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in regard to ministering to the needy saints back in Jerusalem. And I want to read a good bit of this. Verse 1, "More, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the church of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, that's kind of wordy, but what it amounts to is this. He said, I want to tell you about these people that are under great persecution, and yet they want to give, and they're giving, and it has abounded to them for joy. Out of their deep poverty, they have given, and it turns out to be the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They gave more than you could ever imagine that they gave. "Praying for us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we'd hoped. First, they gave their own selves to the Lord." Now, here's the rightful way to honor God with first fruits. First, you give yourself to Him. You give yourself wholly to Him. You have to come to Him and trust Him as Savior. But then it's a life of you giving yourself to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, he's saying you have grown spiritually, you've grown in love, you've grown in faith, you've grown in knowledge and all this thing. He said, that's all part of God's work and God's grace. And he said, I want you to abound in this grace also. What is this grace? It is the grace of giving. And notice, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others. Watch this, to prove the sincerity of your love. What does the offering of first fruits do? It honors God. It reminds us of the resurrection. And it proves how much we love and trust the Lord. And he said, that's what it's going to do. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And hereunto I give you advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness of will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. But if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to hath not. He's saying God looks on the heart, and you give as God leads you to give and bless. I'm going to skip over a little bit here because I want to come down, go over into chapter number 9. He's continuing this thought about their giving. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about the blessing of God on the Macedonians because they were willing to give. Pick up at verse number 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and they which sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according to as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. He's talking about your generosity, your giving. And he talks about it as being a grace, and it's right in line with faith and all those other things. It's a work of God in your heart and life for you to honor God with your substance. Honor the Lord with all of your substance. It proves your love. It proves your faith. Go back to the book of Proverbs chapter 3 just quickly now. I want you to go back and notice what he said in our text verse this morning in chapter number 3. He said this, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. What is the reward of being faithful to God? Well, if you honor God with your substance and if you honor Him with the first fruits, then He blesses you. He said, thus your barns will be filled and your wine presses will overflow. He wants them to be blessed, and God has given to them, and they give back to the Lord, bring it to the house of the Lord, those first fruits, and then He blesses them abundantly more. It's found true in the book of Malachi. During the time of Nehemiah, when they've come back into the land, the book of Malachi was written after they've come out of captivity. And he's dealing with them, and this is read quite often. You've heard it many times. But in Malachi chapter 3, he's admonishing them back like Nehemiah did to begin to be faithful in their first fruits given to the Lord. First things first, honor God with your substance. Honor Him with the first fruits. And notice what it said back in chapter 3, and I'll begin reading with verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. If He's still the Lord after they've been in captivity, after they've come back, is He still the Lord today? He's still God today and He still doesn't change. And so the principles and the truths and the blessings of those passage scriptures apply to us as well. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from mine ordinances. That is what I wanted you to do, and have not kept them. Return unto me. When you obey God, you're returning to Him. You're coming back to Him. You cannot get right with God and not do what He's asked you to do. And so He said, you do those things. That is, in fact, returning back to me. And He said, if you'll do that, I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Now, he points out this one area. There's some other areas, but this is the one area of emphasis this morning. Notice verse 8. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Prove me. He said, I'm telling you what I'll do. He said, if you'll honor me with all your substance, if you'll honor me with the first fruits, he said, your barns will be filled and your presses be overrunning with wine. And here he's, this is a different way of saying the same thing. He said, now prove me. See if I'll keep my word. You honor me with your substance. You honor me with first fruits and see what I do. And he said this, and the Lord, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not be room enough to receive it. His promise is this, if you'll open your heart, he'll open the windows of heaven. If you'll honor God, first things first. Now you don't have, you can go out of here and pay no attention to what I'm telling you. God has been so good to us. He's blessed us all. He's blessed this ministry. But I'm telling you, God said, you honor me with your first fruits, and I'll bless you. I'll show you a blessing. Here we come to this truth. He said in the book, he said, if you'll do that, you'll have revival in your heart. Back in the book of Nehemiah, I didn't read all of it, but when they brought the offerings, they started bringing the first fruits back. Man, there were revival broke out. They began to rejoice and everybody had joy and peace. They had great joy in their heart. And then also, if you'll do that, you'll receive his richest blessings on you personally. God will do that. But if we spend some time back at the book of 2 Corinthians, where he's talking about giving to the poor saints, sharing with them, he said, by doing that, you're causing them to be blessed. You cause them to thank the Lord, and they praise God for you, and they pray for you. Oh, listen, honoring God blesses us every way we can go. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Now, let me just make this statement in closing. I read to you in Corinthians where he's talking about to them about helping with a gift and what the Macedonians had done. And he made this statement. He said, they first gave their self to the Lord. They gave their heart to the Lord. They gave him their will. And they wanted to do whatever he wanted them to do. And having done that, then they became very generous in their giving. The Bible said, if you honor God with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase, he said, I'll fill your barns up and I'll fill up the wine press. That's his promise. My challenge is to you this morning to obey God, because ultimately, when we get right with God, we have personal revival. And if this whole church individually had personal revival, we'd have a church revival and we see God move. God said, if you'll do that, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive. Let's bow together. First things first. First things first. Everything that you have, God's given to you. And he's been gracious. And he's not quit blessing us. Even in our disobedience, he's been good to us. But what blessings have we missed by not honoring him with our substance and the first fruits, without giving him first place in our finances and honoring him in what he does for us, recognizing he's our source and our supply. It's an act of gratitude and thanksgiving. It's an act of faith. And Paul said, it proves our love for him if we do that. And then further, he said this, if you'll do that, many others will get blessed because of your faithfulness to the Lord. And then ultimately, we'll see revival personally and even in this nation. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. Just be obedient to God. I'm interested in you having all God wants you to have. I'm interested in you having the joy and peace that God wants you to have. And I want you to be obedient, to obey God, and he'll bless you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, our Father, for the fact that you blessed us with so many things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. Lord, please don't ever let us be guilty of not acknowledging that and honoring you with our substance. God, I pray, God, that you'd bless your people today. And Lord, if there's a man or a woman, a boy, girl here in the building or in the internet audience that doesn't know Christ, Our Father, we were reminded in the Word of God a while ago that though you were rich, you became poor that we might be rich. You left the glories of heaven and clothed yourself in a human body, took on all the sin of all the ages, and suffered and bled and died that we might have the riches of grace, the free pardon of sin, and an inheritance that fadeth not away. Lord, I pray right now that God, people would understand that God so loved the world that He gave. And God, thank you for that greatest unspeakable gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Holy Ghost of God, you speak to hearts. Lord, I don't know what people need to do other than obey you. And God, I've tried to share what you laid on my heart. God, help them to know that, God, there's a way that they can be blessed and no way they can calculate the blessings of God. You said you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot even receive. God, bless your people. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, could you please stand? During the music, Brother Brad may choose to sing a song. I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about serving the Lord, about being obedient to Him? Attendance to church, Bible reading, prayer? Are you to a point where you're willing to do those type of things? But when it comes to what I've read to you and shared with you this morning, there's something in you that rises up in rebellion. He said, if you'd honor me with your substance and the first fruits, I'll fill your barns up. He said in the book of Nehemiah, if we would return to Him and be obedient to Him with tithes and offerings, He'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we couldn't receive. And then He gives us this challenge. You prove me. Prove me. I pray God the Holy Ghost to do. I think there's a reason that He makes that one of the priorities, first fruits, first fruits. Because He knows our old nature is to hoard and to take credit for all that we have. And it all belongs to Him, and He's the giver of all things. And when we honor Him, He rewards us manifold times over. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help your people to embrace truth and obey truth this morning. I pray, God, for those who have been praying maybe about a church home or those, our Father, who are not saved. I pray, God, that they'd get saved. I pray, God, that you'd speak to our friends in the internet audience as well. And God will thank you. Now, friends, while we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, I'd encourage you to do this. Every morning this year, I've asked you to come gather around the altar if God spoke to your heart. Maybe He spoke to you about seeking first the kingdom of God. Maybe about being judgmental. Maybe about living your life like a Christian. Maybe this morning about your first fruits and honoring God with your substance. Whatever it is, I'm asking you in this time this morning to yield to Him and surrender to Him in every area of your life and prove Him. Notice the joy that comes to your heart, the peace that comes to your heart, and the blessings materially that He'll pour on you if you'll just honor Him. I encourage you to come this morning while the music's playing. Come gather around the altar. If you feel like God's leading you, if you're not saved this morning, we'd love to pray with you. Some others would love to help you. There are people here who'd pray with you, ladies who'd pray with the ladies, men with the ladies. If you have a burden or need, we want to see God meet that need today. He giveth to all men liberally and it abradeth not. Will you come? If you need anything in your heart or life, let God do something for you this morning. Let Him bless you this morning. He wants to.
Friends, you've been listening to the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. We pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you and that God's Word would speak to your heart throughout the week. If we can assist you, please call the church offices at 919-894-4120. We'd love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. We also invite you to attend the services at Benson Grove. The church is located on Highway 50, just 6 miles north of Benson. If you cannot attend in person, join our live internet broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. Just open your computer web browser to www.bensongrovebaptist.org. Choose the Sermons tab and follow the instructions on the screen. Join us for the Benson Grove Baptist Hour each Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. God bless you and have a great day.